This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast. I'm your host, Mac, and this happens to be the 82nd episode of this podcast. And as I usually do, I'd like to start off with a short update. This season is incredibly busy. I'm busy at work. I'm busy at home with new baby. Busy with lots of different changes that I'm making, and it's also kind of a busy season for classes because this is the beginning of the new school year here in Japan. So a lot of adjusting and getting used to new students, and for me at work, and also just me getting used to the new home environment. So I'm kind of slowing down with my studies, and that's kind of starting to make me a little nervous, because I think I'm just going to completely fail the July test. So right now I'm just kind of going, you know, racing against the clock, trying to absorb as much vocabulary as possible with Sticky Study, although I'm terribly behind with that app. And I have been keeping up with Memrise, which is a little bit more demanding, I should say. One good thing I like about Memrise is that it will email you if you haven't been there for a while, and it'll remind you to review your cards, or what they say, water your plants. So if you learn learn a few words, plant a few seeds is what they call them, in the morning, it'll send you an email in the afternoon telling you to, you know, stop back in, water them, and review those words so you can lock them in. And that to me is really good, because if you start the morning with your vocabulary every morning, which is what I do, I usually get up, do my regular routine, shaving, you know, put my hair in place, all that stuff, and then sit down at the computer and do a good half hour or so of SRS before I eat breakfast. It's the first thing of the day. I always make sure I do it. Obviously, I don't have any excuse, because if I wake up on time, I'm going to do it. So it's not one of those things that if I wait to the end of the day, then I can say, oh, I'm tired, I had a long day, blah, 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 and then I skip it. So that is a good thing. I have been able to keep up with that. But one last thing I think on my checklist of things to do is to take a practice test. I need to take my own advice, I guess, and go through a practice test and see how truly bad I am. And try to do what I can to focus on my weaknesses before I get into the exam. So who knows? I am still optimistic that I can score something, especially since reading has gotten so much faster and so much easier for me recently, and I've really been seeing improvements in that. But who knows what's going to come up on the test. So yeah, it'll be interesting. But anyway, today I'd like to talk about memory, how to remember things, specifically words. And memory is something that's kind of important, especially for, well, for all aspects of life, obviously, of your life. But in language, there's no getting around the fact that if you want to become fluent in a language, you will have to remember a lot of vocabulary, vocabulary that you might just end up only reading in your use of that language, or you might only hear, and you may never actually, you know, smoothly use that vocabulary, but it's good to have so that you can hear what other people are saying and understand what they're doing. Because, you know, learning a language is just like, anything else. Even when you're speaking your own language, there are certain words that you use that other people don't use. So, for example, in English, there's a lot of names, a lot of words for baby, right? There are rugrats, there's babies, there's infants, there's toddlers, there's all sorts of words for a baby, essentially. And each one has their own meanings in kind of connotations, depending on where you've heard it, who has said it to you. And so each one has kind of a different feeling, but you probably use one of those words more often than the others, but you know all the other words because other people are going to use that language. And so that's kind of the approach that you have to take when you're learning vocabulary for another language. You know, there's going to be a lot of words that you're just going to know. You may never actually use them, or you might not use them on a regular basis, but it's good to know. And so when you go to remember a new word or grammar point, there's a lot to put in your head when that process starts. And so you at a higher level, at a more advanced level, if you're N3 or above, or even at the N4 level, you're going to have to cram in tons of vocabulary that you're not going to, especially if you're out of the country, you're not going to absorb and pick up in a natural way. So you kind of have to memorize that vocabulary. There's just no real way of getting around that. And especially for the JLPT, where there's kind of some set vocabulary that you need to learn for those different tests. That's a more common set of vocabulary. You're going to have to remember a lot of words that you might not use on a daily basis, even if you are working in a Japanese environment. You might be using other words that that apply to your particular industry. So if you're in IT, you'll probably use a lot of IT jargon. Or if you're in recruiting, there's a lot of HR firms and things here. You're going to be using vocabulary that's unique to that particular industry. So you got to remember a lot of vocabulary, though, for the test. And on top of that, for each vocabulary word in each grammar point, there are nuances. There are alternative meanings. There are several different meanings, depending on how you use the grammar point or the vocabulary. There's collocations to think about. What kind of words does that word or grammar point usually appear with? And there's also a few irregular conjugations thrown in there, although Japanese doesn't have a lot of those. And a lot of times all this information, when you're presented with it in a big wad, it just kind of, you know, you try to force it in your head and it just kind of falls out right out of your head and onto the floor. And it feels like you've wasted a good 10, 15 minutes trying to remember one particular grammar point. You've wasted that time because it just didn't stick. And, you know, the regular tactics sometimes don't work. Making mnemonics for these more complex items are too cumbersome. I mean, it's difficult to make a mnemonic for a grammar point, for example, with all its nuances and ways of conjugating and things like that. And even another technique that I've recommended before, saying things out loud is going to help remember those things. And obviously using the vocabulary and the grammar is going to help. But sometimes You don't have that option. Either you're trying to absorb as much vocabulary as you possibly can, or you're just not in a Japanese speaking environment where you're able to use, for example, I'm learning probably about 20 or 30 vocabulary words a day, and it's really hard in pretty formal words on top of that. It's pretty hard to use those in conversation, when you're, every day, 20 to 30 formal words, just trying to play around with them, at work or whatnot. And so, obviously that's a good option. If you're at, kind of a lower level, it's pretty easy to get that practice in and practice with the vocabulary as much as possible. And, yeah, so all those things can help, but usually it doesn't, still, even after all of that, it'll still kind of fall out of your head, so to speak. And that's where, for these more complex items, it's important to create what I'd like to call a memory hook. And so basically, the main idea behind this is that when you go to remember a vocabulary word, for example, you try to connect it with one other word in English on the first time around. You don't try to remember all the alternative meanings. You don't try to remember all the collocations or whatnot that you can use with that particular word. Just the one-to-one link. And this has sometimes been called the minimum information principle. It's not, there's no real clear word for what this is, but it's basically just trying to simplify the information on both sides to make that link as simple as possible so that you don't kind of overstress your brain the first time you're exposed to something. So once you've created that link, you can gradually, over time, you can add more and more information to that initial link in your head. And so you can add more information about collocations. You can add more information about irregular usages or alternative meanings or idioms or whatnot onto that first initial connection. But don't try to bite off everything at once. Sometimes I see some decks on Anki and some other places that it's one word and then it gives you a list of 20 words, 20 English words that approximate that one Japanese word. Although it's good because it's very thorough, obviously, it's not very... it's going to be a lot more difficult to remember that because there's so much more information when if you just had one English word there, you can build that connection and then massage the idea, the meaning of it in your head and grow it and make it kind of bigger and bigger. You can even use this for grammar points. Just try to remember the basic idea of it, how it's used in what particular situation. And then try to add more and more information to it. And don't make the mistake that certain grammar points behave exactly like they do in English, because chances are they probably behave completely different than they do in English. So it's important to attach those usage information to that grammar point or vocabulary word. And so that's the basic idea of it. Try to create that hook at first and then add some more information to it and don't try to bite off as much as you can, don't try to stuff yourself the first time you're exposed to a particular point. You can always go back and review it. And if you are kind of given time between those reviews, your brain will naturally understand that that's an important grammar point that it needs to remember and needs to internalize. So I'd like to hear from you, as I always do every week. Do you currently use hooks when you're trying to remember something? Do you try to hook it to just one definition? For example, what do your flashcards look like? Is there a list of words on there? Is there one particular word? Is there a ton of information about nuances and collocations, or is it just a little bit? I'd like to know, as I always do. You can comment on this particular podcast at the website, jlptbootcamp.com. This is, of course, the 82nd episode. You can scroll that. You can visit the site, leave me a comment there. Or, of course, if you have a comment or suggestion about anything else, you can click on the Contact Me button there at the website and send me a lovely message about what you'd like to talk about. Or if you're a fan of old-fashioned email, you can email me at mac@jlptbootcamp.com. I promise I always read emails, sometimes especially recently. I haven't been able to respond to all emails, but I do read them all. I love hearing from everybody that's studying for the test. So that's it from me for this week. Have a happy week studying, and I'll talk to you next week. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.